This segment is sponsored by Tanzanian Royalty Exploration, which boasts a market cap of roughly $600 million, and our friend legendary Jim Sinclair. The CEO has invested $32 million of his own money in the company. Jim has said this is his one play for this gold bull market, and he has positioned Tanzanian Royalty's mineral assets strategically in the Lake Victoria Greenstone Belt of Tanzania, one of the most prolific gold-producing regions in the world. This belt has yielded some of the lowest cost production globally in terms of cash costs. The company has numerous royalty type agreements and is slated to have four projects going into production at various points in 2011, 12, and 13, offering investors significant low risk leverage to gold prices. Tanzanian Royalty Exploration, symbol TNX in Canada and TRX on the New York Stock Exchange. This is King World News. I'm Eric King, and you're about to hear from one of the top strategists in the world, Robin Griffiths. Remember to go to our homepage at kingworldnews.com for more interviews, where this week we've already had superstars Mark Faber and Luis Yamada. But without any further delay, here is Robin Griffiths. Joining us now is Robin Griffiths, with four decades in the investment business and one of the most respected strategists in the world. Robin, I have to ask you right away about gold. So strong this summer, still above $1,600. What are your thoughts on gold?
It's essential to own it, basically. The Western world is so deep in debt across the entire Western world that it can't possibly grow at more than very modest rates. Central banks, to try and stimulate growth, are printing paper money into oblivion, and we've simply got to hedge that risk by owning gold. If you adjust the old all-time high in gold for the CPI inflation, you'd get to $3,000. But as we all know, CPI actually understates real inflation because it pretends that iPads are deflationary, but we can't eat iPads. If you use the RPI, which is the more correct thing, you come up with a figure nearer 8,500 as the genuine higher price for gold, the old all-time high adjusted for inflation.
$8,500 gold, just to get back to what we were in 1980?
Absolutely correct. I think we have to own it. Obviously, it won't go in a straight line. It gets a little overbought and has setbacks. But I think it will hit 1750 probably on this run, and then it might well have a 3-month period going sideways at a high level before moving up again.
Thoughts on silver?
Absolutely. Silver will actually, over a longer period, outperform gold because it moves at a leverage rate to gold, but the shorter-term volatility is brutal. I personally do own silver, but I own a smaller holding than in gold, gold being a big holding for me. And the final thing is, it's probable now at last that the gold mining companies, which have massively lagged behind bullion, will start to catch up because they've become very cheap. You see, if you go back to a much earlier cycle, when people wanted to buy gold, they had to buy gold mining companies. This time, a few billion has gone into exchange-traded funds that would have bought the gold mining companies, so they've lagged. But they are now astonishingly cheap. And I think that a catch-up period will take place. So owning some bullion and some selected gold mining stocks makes a lot of sense.
Robin, let me ask you, is there anything on the currency side that you're watching?
Basically, we ought, if we're coming up to a peak, I think we've just passed a peak for equity markets. The cyclical bull market from March 2009 has basically topped out. And if that is correct, we ought to be expecting a dollar rally against other currencies. So a risk-off phase in markets would be dollar rally. We've only not had a dollar rally because of the shenanigans going on in Washington. I mean, America's not going to default, is it? We know that, but this politics has to go on. The actual level against the euro that would signal the dollar rally has begun is 140. And we went to that level, and the euro has rallied away from it. But that rally is indistinguishable from volatility. I think once we get past the 2nd of August, America's still there, still paying its bills. Equity markets will see profit-taking and come down, and the dollar will rally. And as it's so depressed, the dollar rally could be 15%, which in forex terms is huge.
Stock markets, you're maintaining that we're just now entering a bear phase in the markets globally?
The Western markets are all in secular downtrend. They are all, without exception, lower than they were 10 years ago. Around that secular negative trend, they've had a bear market till March 2003, a bull market to late 2007, a bear market to March 2009, and we've been in the new bull market from March 2009 to now. And basically, the only markets that may not quite have topped yet are the US, Britain and Germany. All the other ones that are weaker than them, France all the way down to the basket cases like Greece, clearly peaked months ago and are already in the downtrend. And I think even those three strong ones, the top is so nearly in, if it isn't already, that it makes no difference anyway. And even a QE3 would not alter that by very much. Now, the lead markets, as I call them, were India, Brazil, China. They have actually been in a bear market for really quite a long time. And they are in the final capitulation phase of their bear market. So, in fact, they're roughly 1 year ahead of the Western world in terms of the timing. So the Asian markets will get to their major buyable low very late this year. And in the Western world, we'll get to the low late October 2012. The most lagging markets of all will be 4 years after the last low. So from March 09 takes you to March 2013. So Western markets are a sell until the time zone, October 2012 to March 2013. That's where they're going to be buyable again.
Robin, let me ask you very quickly about the Nikkei in Japan. So much suffering over there, not just from the earthquake, but from that really two-decade-long plus bear market that they've been in, the depression, I guess you could call it. What about the Nikkei and the Japanese situation?
The secular downtrend from the Nikkei has ended. It was 20 years long. If you connect all of the major highs from 89 downwards with a straight line, you can do that. You'll find we actually broke that straight line really quite some time ago, but we did not enter a boom period. What we've been doing is making a base building period. The lowest low in that was just fractionally under 7,000 for the Nikkei. Since then, we've got higher lows at about 8,300 and now at 9,000. I actually think being out of or massively underweight the Japanese market is now a risk, and one should not be going for a boom, but for a perfectly normal cyclical bull phase in line with the other Asian markets. And basically, it could go from here to 18,000, which is a 100% move. Nowhere near the old all-time high of over 38,000, but a perfectly good cyclical bull phase from very bombed out good value levels. So it's one of the few markets, if I was forced to buy something right now, I'd want to at least be buying some Japanese stocks.
Do you have any stocks over there you can recommend?
I can recommend a type of stock. They have to be enormous franchises that are bigger than many countries, and franchises which are, they're obviously going to survive no matter what happens in the world. And America has some of these. I would put Caterpillar on the list. I would put Microsoft, Exxon. I mean, there's quite a list. Boeing. And again, over here, Nestle, Unilever. You know, we can make a list. But the whole point is they're stronger than most countries, and they pay dividends, which are better than most treasury bonds or, over here, gilt-edged dividends. Those are where I would choose to be surviving, because you can't just sit on cash. And to quote, misquote the Bible, man shall not live by gold alone.
Anything people should be shorting? I know you have the bear market view on the stock markets now. How do you play that on the short side, or what do you look to short here, Robin?
I think smaller market cap stocks, which are very high beta in the first place, are going to be particularly vulnerable to a general setback. Their illiquidity is against you. When you try to sell, you get locked in. You can't get anything other than a terrible price, which, of course, makes more and more people want to sell anyway. So small market illiquid stocks, number one. Anything where the P ratio is above about 15, I think, is just expensive. I mean, I look at the cyclically adjusted P for the entire S&P market, and as you know, that's about 24, and has only ever been there four times in the last 100 years, and every single time it's ended badly, usually with a very substantial bear market, not just a modest 20 to 25%, but a 50% or worse. So I think we're very vulnerable. In fact, the strongest markets are likely to give up about a half of what they've gained from March 09. Those strong markets are America, Britain, and Germany. The next weaker category, but still good markets like France, are likely to go back the whole way to where they were in March 09. And the final weaker category, Greece, Ireland, Italy, they are in most cases already lower than they were in March 09. So, I mean, that gives you sort of the good, the bad, and the very ugly, basically. I think it's wrong to be overweighted in equity markets, basically, in my opinion.
Robin, I know you consult with many of the wealthiest families in the world. What are they doing with their money right now?
The top priority, if you're already rich, is to not lose anything. If you're already rich, you can stand some index somewhere going up and you didn't own it. That's not a problem. Doing something supposedly clever and finding you've lost is not good. You can get fired for that. So the top priority is to preserve wealth. this is why gold is attractive, and it's, you're finding more and more fans that, you know, okay, it's still there 1,000 years from now. It never paid you a dividend, but you're still there. It preserves your wealth. And in the cultures that are going to be important in the future, which is China and India, it's been real money for thousands of years. So I think you must have your risks spread across several asset classes. Although we can talk confidently about different scenarios that will play out, these are non-normal times we're living through. So we're not so confident of anything we say that we want to bet the farm on any one asset class. So I think it's right to have a spread across asset classes and world markets, keeping liquidity at all times on our side, because then we change our mind, we can move quite quickly.
Robin Griffiths, one of the most respected strategists in the world. Thank you for joining us on King World News.
It's a pleasure. Anytime.
Be sure to tune in as we will continue to release interviews with the top people in the world throughout the week. Also, check out the King World News blog, where this past couple of weeks we had London whistleblower Andrew Maguire, Chris Whalen, Felix Zuloff, Peter Schiff, Ben Davies, Robin Griffiths, James Turk, Richard Russell, Mark Faber, Pierre Lassonde, Gerald Salente, John Embry, Jim Sinclair, John Hathaway, and James Dines.